Welcome to Applied Faith with Pastor Russ Filacci, Senior Pastor of Christian Church of Broomfield, located in Broomfield, Colorado. Our mission is to provide practical application of biblical truth to help you experience true purpose and lasting change that can begin now. Here's Pastor Russ.
We're going to jump back into the series, Intentional Faith, and we've been looking at, we have to be intentional with our decisions and our actions. We have to be intentional with our faith in order for faith to grow, in order for the transformation in Christ to happen. It doesn't just happen without our input, without our participation, right? And I would ask all of you again, is your transformation complete?
No.
Exactly. Question is, are you satisfied with where it's at? Right, and that's a big question, because some of you may be. Because if we're satisfied, if we think this is as good as it's going to get, or this is all that it needs to be, there's going to be no intentionality, right? Because value drives intention. You desire something, so you intentionally do certain things to help achieve that. And Jesus is faithful. He is there. He's the one that leads. He's the one is the author and the finisher of our faith. We participate as we read his word, obey his word, obey the leading of his spirit who leads us in all righteousness. And as we do that, we experience more of him and we begin to grow more and more. But we have to be very aware of where each of us are at in terms of how much effort am I putting into this? You know, there's nothing wrong with effort. You know, there's nothing wrong with working at your faith. We're not working for salvation, right? We're working to grow. That's what the Bible's all about. If you do this, you will experience this. It's a book of promises, but the promises are received and experienced when we obey. And so, as we're going through this series, my hope is to give each and every one of us very practical steps that we can remember as we go through our week to be intentional with, so that all of us can begin to experience different levels of growth, because all of us are at different levels, but all of us can continue to grow, right? So if we look at 2 Peter 1, 5, says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We went over that. Knowledge, we touched on that. Head knowledge, scriptural knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. We're going to land on that puppy today. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, it's up to you, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge or the experiential knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, where it moves from head to heart. So he's saying, if you want to be more aware of the presence of God, more aware of his goodness, more aware of who is inside of you, the Holy Spirit, add these things and your experience of who Jesus is will be tangible. A lot of us can have a lot of head knowledge, but it's never moved from here to here because there's no intentionality. We're complacent. We're not working with God to change things in our life, to obey his way. And so we're left with this and not this. I've met a lot of people who have knowledge, but no heart. And you just want to say, you're missing it. They've been fooled into thinking that they got it and this is all they need. And you're like, no! And when you're in a room full of people that are alive in the experiential knowledge of Jesus, like he is real, you could feel it. It's tangible. You could also feel it in a room where there's no experiential knowledge. Right? Like the frozen chosen. You could feel it. Now, again, we have a part to play, because my desire is that all of us want to grow. And if you don't, you're in the wrong place. You're just going to get tired of hearing me give you steps and give you steps and give you steps and make you question yourself and give you steps. Well, good. I want you to be tired of me to the point where you say, finally, all right, I'll do it. But let's look at self-control. Let's talk about self-control. Woo! Of all of these that Peter listed, self-control by nature is intentional. You don't accidentally become self-controlled, right? You don't get to the end of the day and say, wait, I didn't do that. I just stopped. No, there is an intention to control. You have to know ahead of time and be willing to say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this. It takes intention. It takes work. It takes determination, right? Self-control means strong and robust, having power over, mastering, controlling, curbing, restraining, controlling oneself, temperate. And he's saying, if we add this, remember, we're looking at things to do intentionally, to add to our faith so that we can grow in the real knowledge of Jesus, that we become more and more of who we are in Jesus. He says, add self-control. Are you ever done adding self-control? Oh, no. But self-control is one of those topics where I don't think we get excited about it, right? Because often you're saying no to something you want, right? Like, I don't have any trouble exercising self-control when it comes to eating pizza with pineapple. I don't have to, no restraint. I ain't gonna do it, right? Well, it doesn't take self-control to not do something that you despise, right? It takes self-control to stop doing something that you like. So when the doctor says, lay off the donuts, you're like, oh, I don't want to exercise self-control there. I like them. I need them. It's all I have. But sometimes you listen to your doctor, sometimes you don't. But look at yourself and say, the times that you have exercised self-control, where you've made a determination, what were the factors involved? I guarantee it was something that said, if I don't, then this is going to happen, right? I need to stop. It's not good for me. It's not healthy for me, right? And then you exercised it. But with spiritual issues, it's a little more difficult. Really. With spiritual issues, when it comes to saying yes to righteousness and no to sin, because we all have our lives, and we've had our lives before Jesus, and there's a lot of stuff within us that has become very second nature and instinctual that we don't want to give up because we don't know any different. And we become complacent. We don't want to touch that. But this is where we have to be very aware of something. Like, I'm going to use this again. Say, you know, the doctor said, really, you don't need to be doing anything for 3 weeks or so. What if I said, yeah, but I need my arm. I got to move my arm. I need my left arm. So I know you say don't, but I'm going to do. Because I need it. Doctor knows best. He knows what he's talking about, right? But this is stupid. I'm not this stupid, but I have accidentally over the last week moved my left arm instinctually, not thinking, I'll never do it again. Why? Pain. So all of a sudden I'm seeing, oh, this is why he said that, right? Pain immediately. And if I do it too much, it's going to affect the healing. And if it affects the healing, I might have to go through this all over again, right? So, simple analogy. But the reality is the present pain of the movement helped me remember to exercise self-control, to not move the arm. It helps. It helps me remember, don't reach with that arm, reach with this arm. We need to see God's commands as such, knowing he understands the pain that sin causes, whether you feel it or not. But we just want to keep moving it. We need it. I need this in my life. I need this in my life. I need this behavior in my life. But we don't understand what's happening. So therefore, we don't exercise self-control, and we allow sin to still rule in our bodies because we think we need it. And therefore, we don't grow. So, James 1, let's look at this. Verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his what? His what? And enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to what?
Sin.
And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what?
Death.
Do you see the process here? Do you see where sin originates? Between the ears. When we are enticed by our own fleshly desires, the old person, the sinful person, the part of us that still we wrestle with, right? But when those feelings and instincts come up, or whatever it is that you know is sin, and you say yes to it, and you give birth to it, and then you sin, you are actually birthing sin into your life and death. It's pain, whether you know it or not. I love how he gives you a process. He goes, you're drawn away by your own desire. So you have to recognize the sinful desire first, right? You can nip it right there through self-control, right? Here's that desire, and I know that desire is not of God because I'm filling myself with his word. I know that this is not right. Here's that desire. What am I going to do? Say yes and give birth to it? Or say no, choose righteousness? But there's that moment, right? We all have those moments of decision. We all have moments of decision. And self-control is the weapon that you use to say no and to choose righteousness. All right, so a lot of us don't understand that some of the sin in our life is really that bad. Let's think about the things that you justify still that you know are sinful, but you still do it. What's it really hurting? What's it really hurting? I mean, I'm not murdering people. I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, right? But what are you still saying yes to? Where have you just said, I'm not exercising self-control there because I don't really think it's that bad? See, this is where it gets hard, because a lot of us are like, well, I'm not supposed to do it because God says. But you don't even know why God says it. He's doing it for your protection, right? But it just becomes a rule. It doesn't become something deeper than that. But everywhere you are saying yes, that you know you're saying yes to, that is a sin, it is corroding you. So I don't care how much good you're doing over here, you're inviting something in over here. The struggle's always going to be there, but the problem is we're defeated when there's no struggle. Where we just continue to say, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to continue to act like this because it's all I know. I'm going to move my arm because I need it. But you see, if we understand that sin brings pain, whether you feel it or not, and I guarantee some of you can probably say, no, it's brought pain in my life. I just can't stop, and I don't want to stop. Self-control is the agent by which you can start to remove that pain from your life and bring actual life into your life. Look at this, Romans 6:15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Because that's what some of the teachers, the rabbis, are saying. So since grace abounds, just sin. Do everything you want. Do whatever you want to do. Paul's like, no, certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin, you're either going to be a slave of sin leading to what? What?
Yeah.
We got to be very clear on that. These little pet sins are bringing death into your life and counteracting the life that is there. Or of obedience leading to what? But God be thanked that though you were once slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You're delivered from the law. You're delivered from the flesh. You were delivered by whatever you moral code that you live by. You were delivered from that, and now you are in this new covenant. And what does that covenant mean? And having been set
free.
What?
Free.
What?
Free.
From sin. So some of you are saying, I can't stop. That's a lie. You've been set free. You are not a slave. I'm going to keep going. You became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. This is all about self-control, how you control yourself, how you control your life, how you control your instincts. He is saying, now here's the thing. When you say yes to those sins, it's mastering you. You're not mastering it. It's mastering you. That's not a good thing because you've been freed from it. You don't have any power. You're actually giving power to it. You have power to say no. But do you want to? And so it's this aware. Here's the thing. God is so gracious not to show us all of our sin in one fell swoop. It'd be too overwhelming. He gives us little glimpses and little convictions, and we grow as we see that and go, all right, I'm not going to let that master me anymore, right? I am not a slave to addiction. I'm not a slave to anger. I'm not a slave to unforgiveness. I'm not a slave to selfishness. I'm not a slave to these things. It won't master me because I have been set free. So I want to experience that freedom. So how do you even begin to experience that freedom? You take a step and say no and realize, wait a second, I didn't do it. Thanks be to God. Now, it may be every day, I got to say no again. I got to say yes. And then eventually, the more we keep exercising self-control in that area, you are going to begin to experience new life. But it starts with the first no. I don't want pain, I want gain. But again, coming back to how you view the sin in your life. The sin you know of. What you continue to justify, what you continue to be mastered by. Because you're working against yourself. And I think this is what I see, especially like, you see very loose belief out there where people are professing one thing, but they are living in that sensual, uncontrolled type of life still, but yet praise Jesus. It's sad. What's the point? You've been delivered from all that because that's not who you are. You're Christ's. You've been delivered. You are a creature now of righteousness, right? But it starts in the trenches with the little things. Sometimes the big things are easier, right? It's those little things that God reveals and said, are you still going to do that? You still going to do it? If I've convicted you of it, I'm telling you, it's pain. It's death. It's not helping you. Do you dare exercise self-control? And so we have to be control freaks. Be a control freak, please. If you're serious, if you want to grow, be a control freak. Get yes. Get used to saying yes. Because you say no and you say yes, right? It doesn't mean the struggle just disappears, but you get used to, becomes a habit of saying no. right? You may have to say no every day, every minute, every hour, but you're saying no. And the more you say no, the more you're going to experience life, the more you're going to grow in the experiential knowledge of Jesus. And I really believe the no's get easier. Because I've experienced it. But again, comes back to you all. Romans 6:20. Well, I'm not going to go there yet. Hold on. Let me get a drink of water. Knowing this, that decisions you make, every decision you make in regards to faith and obedience has an effect, right? It has an effect. Every one of us needs to ask ourselves, first of all, maybe even you're thinking right now, here's that thing, I know what he's talking about. Did he follow me around this week? This is just for me, right? How willing am I to allow that effect to stay in my life? How willing are you? Are you bothered by it? Are things fine? Because that's the deception. This is why it gets hard, because those things are comfortable, and sometimes we rest in the comfort. It covers the death. I guess that's the best way I can put it. Comfort is a lie. Comfort lies and it deceives. And some of us aren't willing to disrupt that comfort. Some of us are saying, well, my identity rests on these certain traits. But if they're not of God, that's really not your identity. But if that identity means more than what God has, see, that's the tough place. So this is the heart work each of us need, that, Lord, help me see it for what it is. Help me look at what this behavior has done. Let me see the trail of carnage. And maybe it's not a ton of carnage, but you begin to see, man, if I would have been delivered from this and not have this in my life, man, I could see a lot of things being different. It's not too late. But if it's even not that clear, just say, Lord, help me be convicted that this is not me. This is not good for me. So those little pet sins that we have, kill them. Break their necks. Because you all, growth happens there. Who would say it takes a little courage to snap out of some of these sinful behaviors? Yes. Courage and trust that the promises of God are real. And if you remember 2 Peter, what we were just reading, says if you do these things, you're going to experience the promises of God. So if you feel like you're kind of in a desert lately, there's a lot of things that can come into play, but a lot of times God is like, I'm cleansing you, right? What do I need cleansed of? I'll show you if you give me time. And then you act according. You exercise self-control. So are you slaves to your flesh? No. Do you feel like you're slaves to your flesh sometimes? Yes. It's easy to feel like that. Come on, y'all. All of us got our little things. And they're hard to drop. But it's worth the work. What is God convicting you of today? Write it down or not. But your work this week is, if you recognize it, which you will recognize it if you give God a little time, what are you going to do in that moment, right? What are you going to do in that moment where it's either a yes or a no? You're going to say yes to pain or no to pain. Yes to gain or no to gain. But guys, this is where our walk is, right? This is where it lies. As soon as you leave this room, what are you going to say? How are you going to do it? You do it one no at a time. And you know what? He's given you people in your life to help you say no, to help encourage you, help stand with you. You're not in this alone. But don't be complacent. If God says don't do something, trust me, he means it. It's for your good. He's not trying to ruin your life. He's not a fun sucker. He's a life giver. What things are you justifying? I just want to say it over. Some of you just need to hear this. What things are you justifying that you need to stop justifying? You know it right now. You know, all right, I'm done. Blah, 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 blah. This is the day. You stop. I remember when I was still a new believer, my 20s. There was a day, it was a single day where the Lord said, stop swearing. And I did. Doesn't seem like a big deal, but it was for me. Little things like that. And I know there's giant deals, but I'm just saying little things like that where God brings it to your attention, like, that is not me. Overflow of the heart comes out of the mouth. I don't know, my head. What's in you is going to come out. It's like, is that what you want people to hear and then say, I love Jesus? And was it just like, no, I had to be, it was constant. But guys, these are little things where you practice righteousness. Stop excusing little things and going for the, stop it. I'm just like, come on, you guys, this is where growth happens. It's in the little things. Stop drinking that third glass of wine. Right? Or whatever it is. You know when you go over the edge, stop it right there. Like, stop. You're about to gossip. Stop it. Little things that you don't think matter, do, right? You're about to click on that thing that you know if you see that thing. Guys, you know the rabbit trail it's going to bring you down. Put that phone under your feet and stomp on it. Well, or just put it away. But guys, it's in the trenches. But if you're like, well, what's the big deal, right? Why are you going to exercise self-control? Guys, this is like such a big message. Why? Because this is where the life of faith exists. Are you going to do what the Bible says because you trust that it's for gain and for life? Or are you just going to be like, it's a suggestion. I've been baptized. I'm good. No, it's not how it works. It's a life. And my thing is, you give up those things because there is life in Jesus, and he gives you a new vocabulary. There's other words that are strong. But again, do you want that life? And I would say, yes, I do. But it comes by these little tiny decisions. And then when you mess up, guess what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I can wake up and do it again and try and try and try and grow in you. For when we, Romans 6:20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. There was no righteousness over your life. There was no demand over your life. You were a slave to sin. All you had to do was obey it. He goes, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? I love how he said, okay, yeah, when you were free to do whatever you want to do and not exercise self-control according to righteousness, look back and say, I'm so proud of those moments. Thank goodness there wasn't Facebook when I was a teenager. I just want to say that. You see, he goes, look back and say, I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. No, look in the rearview mirror and say, what fruit has that really produced? Are you really proud of those things? He's like, no. He goes, for the end of those things is what?
Death.
But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there's eternal life, and then there's life here that we can gain by saying no and then yes. And I'm not up here saying it's easy. I'm saying it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth the discipline. It is. You're going to grow. So remember, whatever it is, whatever God's convicting your heart of right now, maybe he's not, maybe he'll do it later. It takes courage. It does. It takes courage. Because a lot of times it's risking your comfort, it's risking a lot of things that you're very familiar with, that feel very good. But yet, in the end of the day, he's transforming you into someone new. So stop finding comfort in the old. And we're going to grow. Every single one of us. Every single one of us will grow when we exercise self-control. Amen? So yeah, leave here going, all right, great. God already knows what you're struggling with. He might have just brought it to your attention again. It's like, I haven't forgot yet. I'm just reminding you. Remember that little thing? I just brought it back to your memory. Why? To make me feel bad? No, to deliver you. Because it's hurting you. So I'm going to deliver you. Woo! But it takes self-control. That's the key, right? Well, Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord, thank you, first of all, for your patience and your mercy and grace. Oh, we need it so bad. And I thank you, Jesus, that though we are sinners, we are the righteousness of God in you. And Lord, each person here that has professed faith in you, I pray, Lord, that you solidify your conviction and that you give them the determination right now to say no. To say no. Lord, remind them that you are in them. You're greater than the world. You're greater than any temptation. And your ways are life. Lord, I know for some people it's fear. It's like, I can't let go of me. That means this. There's just a lot of fear around giving up some things, Lord. And I would pray that you just help them. Lord, help them say no to instincts that come from emotions that are not of you. But Lord, you know the heart. I trust you, Lord, to speak to each of us, to lead us, to convict us, but to remind us that we are yours and we are forgiven, but that holiness and righteousness is who we are, and to settle for anything less is death. But Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We praise you, Jesus. You are King and our Savior, our life giver, our shepherd, our father. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Applied Faith with Pastor Russ Felici, an outreach of Christian Church of Broomfield, located in Broomfield, Colorado. To contact Pastor Russ, visit his website at russfelici.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, an alive faith is an applied faith.